Heavenly Father, touch us now as we go into your word. Strengthen us, guide us, and keep us. We pray that you will touch each person here individually and collectively as we go into your word today. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ come from these lips of clay, and that he and only he get the praise. For the message is the most important thing and not the personality. We are praying, Father, that there be no personalities as the personality of Jesus Christ. In the wonderful, precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. From the book of I'll read today, is that another one? Okay, from the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, and I would like for you to follow me in Romans chapter 8 and verses 1. 8 and 1. I'd like the Elder Liberman to read that. And then we're going to go to Romans 28 through 39. And I'd like for Elder Liberman, you may start reading the King James Version. Although a lot of the text today will come from the Greek text. Much of it. Go ahead, Elder.
Romans chapter 8, beginning with the first verse. Mm-hmm. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Okay, to the 28th. Verse, please.
Same chapter.
Okay.
Moving on to verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified.
To go to 39.
Verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are spared, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
The text today from the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans, the 8th chapter, is considered to be the Apostle Paul's masterpiece. It is considered by many to be the greatest chapter in the Bible. it is a tremendous work given to Paul by the Holy Spirit. And 1 hour of ministering today would not even begin to expound on the richness of this chapter. And at one time, and I don't know if it's still in effect, but at one time, every law school graduate from Harvard University had to write a dissertation on this chapter. He had to tell who Paul was talking to. They had to tell who Paul was speaking to. What was he saying? And what was the relevance of the message in chapter 8? It is a tremendous chapter. And every time I read it, I'm continually amazed by the clarity and the beauty of it. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, we look here. First of all, it says, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And I want you to take your Greek Bible, and we're going to do a little bit of sharing right now. Because if you look at the Greek text, Elder Lynn, would you read that in Greek, please? You have your Greek Bible?
Romans chapter 8, first verse in the interlinear Greek. Know then, now, condemnation to the in Christ Jesus.
Okay. To the ones in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. That last 10 words there was added to the text. It should not be in there. And I'd like to say just a few things about that before I move on. That particular segment there, the words that they put on there, as far as I'm concerned, nullifies the work of grace. And I'd like to ask you, I said, we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And I'd like to ask any of us here, anytime you have a condition, any kind of conditions, then it's not the Apostle Paul's message in the grace context. If you're going to put a condition on if, and, or but, that's conditions. That's not Paul. He says, as the elder just read, so, and I'd like to ask you, how are you going to walk not after the flesh sometime in your life? Even when you're saved, filled, sanctified, set aside and glorified and all of the other things that go with our contract. How or not you going to be in the flesh sometime? Now, I'd like for you to answer that for me, because we are bombarded with the works of this flesh every day by what we see, feel, touch, hear, or smell. Flesh-wise, this body-wise, it is utterly impossible to walk through this life without being attached to the flesh in some way or the other. Whether it's what we eat, whether it's intellectual pursuit, or whatever pleases this flesh, we will walk out of the bounds of the goodness of God and experiment or move around in the flesh sometime, and then we'll get a call from God and come back. But it's like the proverbial child. We grow up, our parents are on us, but if we get a chance, we'll sneak out, do a few things, have to call us back. So you can't say that that is not what we want to look at there as far as that's concerned. And to further say that, if we go over to Romans, the 14th chapter, and the 10th verse, verse 10 there, would you read that for me?
In the King James
Version.
King James?
Yeah.
of Romans chapter 14, the 10th verse, King James. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
It's God's not condemning us. The condemnation that we get is from one another. As far as God's concerned, that's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. But we're quick to judge, point our fingers, and talk about somebody like a dog and push them down and everything. If you can't say something good about somebody or uphold them, just keep your mouth shut. You don't need to be running anybody down, because we said, Michigan State, if you stand in the glass window, don't throw stones. And all of us are subject to something, sometimes or another. And so, Paul has stated in one of his epistles, judge nothing before the time. And he tells us that we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to have to give an account for everything we've done. So we shouldn't be so quick to judge somebody else, because we have a lot of problems ourselves. I know I do. Of course, you guys are all real good folks. You don't have a problem. You're real good and sweet and kind and don't have that problem. But as we think about that, we ought to think about the fact that all of us are in this flesh, and the Bible says put no confidence in the flesh. There's nothing good about the flesh. Give no occasion to the flesh. And all of the things about the flesh, you know, this is a temporary dwelling that's encased, and our soul and our spirit, it covers it. But put no confidence in it, because it will let you down. Amen. Now we go to the 28th verse here. The Apostle Paul renders some salient advice. And I want Elder Liberman, read that for me again, please.
Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose.
Now in the Greek, read that for me, Elder.
Romans 8:28 in the Greek, interlinear Greek. And we know that to the ones loving God, all things work together, God, for good. For good to the ones according to purpose, called being.
Okay, now, if you are in this, in the Grace Church, as we are, and we have been called and saved, and talk about this a little bit later, but if all of these things are true, then why would we have an acrimonious, what we call acrimonious verse here? That's what we would call it. But he says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. I don't hear Word of Faith people preaching that. I don't hear the prosperity preachers preaching that. If we say all, I always thought that all meant everything. I thought that it was all of the things that we see around us, in us, and about us. All means all. All. Okay? Well, preacher, what if I get cancer? You mean that's good? But what about poverty? By the way, the word people call that poverty, that's a curse. That's what they call a curse. Strange thing. Jesus said the poor will always be with you. That's what Jesus said. Then if you're homeless, you mean that's good? I got a divorce. That's good? I'm dying. I will die. That's good? A paraplegic, that's good. Paralyzed, that's good. All things work together for good to them who love the Lord, who are called according to His purpose. And as we go on here, He says that what? For whom He did foreknow, He also what? Did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. He might be the first among many, might be the firstborn among many brethren. What we have to think is that we have peace with God through faith. And so how do you answer somebody and say, well, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord? Well, God, in our grace context, has an answer for everything. It's there. If you look long enough, it's there. Just go to back to Romans, the 5th chapter here, and take a look at that. He says what? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So we're going to take the Greek text here, and I'm going to have Elder, we're going to read this, and I'm going to comment on it. Okay, Elder, start there with the 5:1, please, in Romans.
Romans chapter 5, first verse, interlinear Greek.
Right.
Having been justified, therefore, by faith, peace we have with God through the Lord of us, Jesus Christ.
Okay, now, we have what? Been what? Justified, as an aorist tense. Okay? We have been justified by faith, not our faith, but the faithfulness of Christ. Amen? We have been, that's all settled. Amen? So, we have the peace of God within us. The peace that God gives us is not, as Jesus said, as the world. We have the peace of God in our spirit, in our soul, and that is what we have from God. Amen? So he says that the thing that we need to know is that this is the peace that's a long-term peace. It's forever. It's not like the world gives you. The world gives you peace for a second, for a moment. And you don't really have any peace while you're here on this earth. You never have peace. It's always the fact that we are going and going and going, and we'll have a brief episodic episodes where we have peace, but there's always something lurking around the corner to break the peace. You have no peace in this life. And no matter how much we try to get away and have peace, we have none in this life. But no matter what we're going through in our afflictions and our trials, we have the peace of God in our mind, in our spirit, in our soul, in our body. No other religion on this earth can tell you that. So no matter what you're going through, no matter what kind of problems you're going through, we still have the peace of God within our spirit. Amen. Go ahead, Elder, second verse there. 5:2.
Through whom also the access we have had by faith unto this grace in which we stand and boast on hope of the glory of God.
By faith. Okay, through whom also access we have had. We've got it. Access. We can go to Jesus anytime. Anytime. No matter what the problem is or no what, he's always there. Why? Because greater is He that's in you than is in the world. He lives within us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I don't have to go to an altar and pray to some wooden saint. Or do any other thing where I'm trying to, you machinations trying to get to God. I have God speaking to me in my heart. And when I study my word and get into my word, and I study the word, then God speaks to me. And he talks to me because I'm his child. You don't hear what I'm talking about today. No other faith in the world can do that for you. No other religion in the world can do that for you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And Jesus is with me all of the time. No matter where I go, no matter what I do, he's with me. He said he would never leave me or forsake me. He's here inside of me. He's inside of you. Go ahead, Elder. Verse 3.
And not only so, but also we boast in afflictions.
Hold it. Not only are we going to have afflictions in this life, but in the grace contract, we ought to be able to boast in afflictions. That's what Paul did in Corinthians. Amen? No, everything we want to have namby-pamby, smoothie-woothie, Mercedes and big houses, and everybody can shout how good God is when you got 3 or 4 Mercedes out there in the garage. Everybody can talk about when you got 4 or 5 homes and resort homes and everything, but when you get down to the nitty-gritty where you can't move or nobody's there for you, you can't. What are you going to say then? Well, I can boast in the fact my God is my Savior, and for the things that I'm going through are just for a moment. But I know that I have God where I will be with him throughout all eternity. All of the things I'm going through here is just for a moment. Don't worry about this mess here because everything here is temporary anyway. Don't put any faith in this life as far as material things and all that's concerned. Your hope is in Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. Go ahead, Elder.
Afflictions, knowing that afflictions, patience.
Knowing that it works.
Works.
It works what? Experience and experience hope. The more you go through and the more down you are, the more God draws you to him and the more you love him. I can't explain it. I just go through it by faith. That's what you go through. If I had to write a thesis on about faith and I couldn't do it because I could just do the best that I could, but the Holy Spirit would have to direct the pen for me to get the words out of me because this flesh can't do it. But I can tell you what God has been through for me and what he's done for me, then it makes it all much better. It's awfully quiet here this morning. Go ahead, Ella.
Okay. And patience, proof, and proof, hope. And hope does not put to shame, because the love of God has been poured out in the hearts of us through Spirit Holy given to us.
The Holy Spirit has what, poured himself into each one of us, and it's just like taking a vial, just full of, it's like me watering my plants. If I just take the plant, I take a teaspoon of water and put down there, that wouldn't do much, but if I got a whole bunch of plants in there, I'm not going to take a teaspoon of water. I'm going to take a big vial of buckets and go all the way through and make sure they got enough water. Well, the Holy Spirit of God, what he does is when he saved us in eternity, he gave us enough of his Spirit, and he has poured all over us, into us and out of us, everything. So, honey, we have, you worried about this and you worried about that. God has taken care of you and loved you from since he called you and saved you in eternity. God loves you. You don't have to worry about that. Amen. And it is, you know, when God gets in you, and when you get this into you, you're not ashamed. Some of us are ashamed to tell about who we serve. You know, well, they always come up and, well, where you go to church, it's all about church and not about Christ. You ever notice that? Folks, they always say, well, what church you go to? They never talk about anything about Christ. It's all about the church you go to. What's the size of the church? And who is the big doctor? Who's the pastor? We got personalities. We got big churches. Nobody talks about Christ. But you ought not be ashamed of who you serve and why you serve him. We're so bushed by people, ambushed, bushed, and everything. We always got a way. We got a way to shun from talking about Jesus. But you ought to be proud of the fact that God saved you in eternity and called you. Amen. All right. Verse 29. Back to Romans there. 8:29.
Romans 8:29.
Yes.
Instantly in Greek. Because whom he foreknew, also he foreordained, conformed to of the image of the Son of him, that we should be that to be him firstborn among many brethren.
I can't understand how we can put so much emphasis on studying the kingdom or the kingdom message. When in Christ we have everything. Why are we spending time here about this or that as far as the kingdom is concerned, or the Old Testament where law or the prophets and the things like that, when we have all the richness of the New Testament in Jesus Christ and all of the grace contract that we're under and all of the things. Why are we spending all that kind of time? Who he formed, who he predestinated, who he called, saved in eternity. Why are you worried about that when you are next to God? He's being conformed to the image of his Son. Why you will take on his very nature? My God, where is there where I will be able to take on the nature of God? Wherever God is throughout all eternity, that's where I will be. That's what really excites me. I can't get excited about a kingdom message when I'm looking at it was horizontal, where it's emphasizing what I can see, feel, touch, or smell. I want to know something where I can't see, I can't smell, I can't touch, and that's in Jesus Christ. That's the thing. You worried about all this stuff down here on earth, and it's all going to pass away anyway. Why are you putting all of your emphasis on about this and this and that? And we spend all of this time, and then we spend all of this time on this. All things were written for you, but when all was written to you, our message is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's our message. It's the grace contract. It's a different contract. It is not kingdom. It is not law. It's not kingdom law. Law was Mosaic law written to the Israelites. Kingdom law, John the Baptist said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But when grace came, it came to a Pharisee on his way to destroy the church. And then God dealt with him and gave him a new contract. It's for us. That's what it's about. We're putting all this emphasis on all of the different things about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all those things. And then you say this and you say that. I said in Bible class Thursday night, at 1 Corinthians 2:9, about, turn that to it. And then go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, and I want Ella to read that.
First Corinthians chapter 2, the 9th verse. But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him.
Now, I want you to show you how we don't rightly divide the word. John, go to John, the 14th chapter, Elder, and the first verse. John 14, 1.
of John, chapter 14, first verse. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Keep going.
Yeah, go ahead.
In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you.
Stop right there. You get these guys on TV and radio. Paul said that. Yeah, you go to you. Then it's corroborated, the whole same thing in John the fourth. No, it's not. John is speaking to the Israelites, and it is about see, feel, touch, hear, smell. Paul is talking to the church, and there's nothing about see, smell, feel, or touch. Taking stuff out of context and going on radio and television and saying, you don't know anybody like that. You ought to be or not be on TV. You ought to not be on radio. He's not, that's not the same thing. One is speaking to Israel. One is speaking to the church. And you've got to rightly divide this word. Verse 30. Back to 8.
Romans chapter 8.
Verse 30.
Moreover.
Go to the Greek on that.
Romans chapter 8, verse 30. But whom he foreordained
or predestinated,
these he called.
He called.
And whom he called, these he justified. But whom he justified, these also he glorified.
Now, how many times you heard people that I'd be saying, well, I was brought up in the Baptist church. Talk to an apostolic. Well, you've been filled with the Spirit? Well, you're not saved. You can't be saved. You're not filled with the Spirit. You spoke in other tongues? Well, unless you spoke in tongues or you've been filled with the Spirit or baptized in Jesus' name, you can't be saved. Well, where were they when this scripture came out here? He said, whom he called, predestinated and called. Now, the point I'm trying to make is there is no sequencing with God. It's an all-in-one deal done by God in eternity. He doesn't have it where you said you get saved now and 5 weeks later you're going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And after you get filled 5 weeks after that, elder, you're going to go and get speak in tongues and then you're going to be really a member of the church. That is the dumbest, most foolish thing I ever heard in my life. If God does a work, he doesn't have to do it in sequences. The work is done all at once. You don't hear me. Somebody ought to get fiery about this. Somebody ought to stand up about this. We got a whole generation, or two or three generations, of people walking around talking about you got to speak in tongues, and you got to do this, you got to do that. What God has done, there's nothing else to be done. God doesn't need your work. Doesn't need you to do anything. I always thought that God was omnipotent. That's what they say. Well, if he's omnipotent, then he doesn't need your detail on salvation. No second baptism. What God does, he justifies glorifies in all the other nations that he does as a one-time thing. You were lost, you were saved in one instant. That's it. And it was done by God in eternity. You don't have to walk around here with a guilt trip because I am not, what? I have not spoken tongues. I have not been baptized in Jesus' name. The baptism took place in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter and the 13th verse. For by one Spirit we've all been baptized. That was done in eternity. You don't need to go to the Jordan River to be baptized. You don't have to go to hear Bishop so-and-so baptize you. What God needs to be done, he does it himself. And you know why he did that? Put no confidence in the flesh. Don't have no flesh determining whether somebody's saved or not. You'd be all messed up. It just makes me angry. As Deacon Gavin said, Elder, you're passionate. Yes, I am passionate. Anytime you mess with the salvation of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then it does make me passionate. Yes, it is one Lord, Jesus Christ. It is one faith, the faithfulness of Christ. One baptism. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. That's what one faith, one Lord, one baptism mean. Not in some denomination. To somebody who is there and he's got as many sins as you got. And he's going to tell you whether you're saved or not. Give me a break. You have people on a guilt trip all their life. Can't do this, can't do that. Can't walk down the street the wrong way. You cross a light, you got to go back and get cross on a red. You walked on a red, and you're supposed to be green. Go back and get baptized again. Give me a break. You got a whole generation of malcontents because they don't know the Word of God. And I thank God that he called me and saved me and put me into a teaching that was not like that. Got to go to a mourner's bench. Got to go this, you do that, and do that. I'm going on because y'all are not with me. All right, go ahead. 31.
Verse 31, King James. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Why are you worried about what somebody in the denomination said, whether you saved or not? If God is with you, then why are you worried about what somebody else said? If God says that you, the Bible lets us know that the Spirit of God witnessed to our spirit that we are the children of God. Then why are you going through these guilt trips on by what some denomination tell you? I just. You come up there and you going through all of those mechanizations. I gotta get saved again. We gotta get born again. It's kingdom, but it's right. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Go ahead, Ellen. 31.
Verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
If God is for us, who can be against us? Go ahead, 32.
He that spareth not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
If your ministry is horizontal, and all things mean to you, cars, clothes, food, and health, and wealth, then you're missing the point. All things I'm thinking about, if I'm in the body of Christ, in Christ, over 70 times in the New Testament,
In Christ. In Christ. Well, when I look out there, I like to watch the History Channel, and I see all about the universe out there and all of those 100 billion galaxies out there, and my mind is not strapped in the extrapolations of this planet here, where I'm down here worried about getting my next meal there. I'm thinking about where I can be with God all the way out there. I can't go far enough because my Lord and Savior, there's no end. That's to me all things mean freely to me. I'm not worried about all this mess down here. Because Mercedes will rust out. The house will fall apart. The clothes will rot. The food will fall. And everything here is going to go. But when I'm with Jesus, oh, you don't hear me, throughout all eternity, wherever he is, that's where I'll be. And the thing is, I will take on his nature. And the thing that I like, Deacon Gavin, is I'll be learning throughout all eternity. Oh my God! That's what Paul is talking about. Not about the mansions and the new Jerusalem. That's what Paul was talking about. As one of the sisters said, you got to think outside the box. You worried about all this mess here? And none of us worth worrying about. These folks, he put all this, that stock, I got my 401, hell, let me tell you about all these people. He put all of this money in these stock market, he won a 401k's down, and not a one of them worth anything. God had to knock everything from under us because that was our security. There is no security outside of Jesus Christ. All this stuff we think so much of. And I'm guilty too. I'm preaching to myself. There's things that I love. There's things that Elder Deacon Gavin love. The only one don't love anything. He's past all that. But there's things that I love and crave. But you got to put that aside. Verse 33.
Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies.
If God justified it, then how can I say something about Sister Harris?
Amen.
Sister Liverman. How can I say something about her? Even if I know what it is, I can't say that Sister Harris is not saved. I can't say that Sister Liverman is not saved. Because I am not God. It's God does the justifying. What are we going to get that through our heads?
Amen.
We always got. And then what's bad about it, we got to get on the phone and call somebody and tell somebody something. And keep your mouth shut. You don't know all of the details, and if you did, you still shouldn't say anything about it. It's God that's doing this justified, not you. I thought you were supposed to lift up a brother that was fallen. Take him into your arms and try to work with him. Well, I think we need to go to the book of Galatians. Chapter 6 and verse 7. I think that's to be not deceived, for God is not mocked, but I think it's a scripture after that. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Galatians, what is that? 6:1-2. It says there, read that, Elder.
Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault.
Hold it. You mean Christians get overtaken in faults? I didn't think Christians did anything like that. Go ahead.
Ye which are spiritual.
Ye which are spiritual. Go ahead.
Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted.
Take heed, lest he fall. Go ahead.
Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ.
That's the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens. That's what we're supposed to do. If we see somebody that's down and something's happened to them, you're supposed to go and talk to them and try to help them, and in a spiritual way. Don't go there and try to get the whole story of them and then go back, I've got to go and tell my wife about this. No, you don't. If somebody tells you something private and it's personal, don't go tell everybody in the church. Got to go gossip about something. I know I'm right. You don't have to say amen. I know I'm right.
That's right.
Amen. I know I'm right. Okay, Elder, go on over here. Come to a close pretty soon now. All right. Go ahead. Number 34. Is that it?
Back to Romans 8, verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us.
I don't need to go and talk to Mary via the priest. I don't need to go talk to a saint that's Tuesday's saint for the year, for that day, for things that happen in a church setting that I go pray to him. I don't need that. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2 and 5 that there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So when Satan, which is the accuser of the brethren, go and tell Jesus about William R. Nicholson doing this and that, and he is not your child, my Lord and Savior can intercede for me that that is my son who I justified and saved before the foundation of the world. And you can take your mess about William R. Nicholson because he is my child. That is my mediator, Jesus Christ. I don't have to go ask somebody to pray for me through somebody else. Go ahead, next one, Elder.
35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?
No, but nothing. Nothing can separate me from my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not a thing. Nothing. Nothing can separate me. Can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ, who saved you before the foundation of the world. You see, our God is not a what you call a fair weather person. He does something one time in eternity, and that's it. It's what you call the sovereignty of God. God doesn't make mistakes. When he saved you, you, and you, he saved us all that's in the body of Christ. And he does not have second thoughts about George Cutler, William Nicholson, Deacon Gavin, or Elder Liverman. He doesn't have second thoughts. He saved us before the foundation of the world. He glorified us. He sanctified us. He justified us. And when I leave this place one day, I've got a body, as I told the kids in Thursday class, I've got a glorified body waiting on me. A millisecond before I leave this body, I'm going to be directed with the Lord. Into my glorified body. You ought to be, that ought to be so much of a help for you. And people that they are worried about this and worried about that, the only thing you need to worry about, if you're not in Christ, how to become a child of God and let God witness to you. If He's called you before the foundation of the world. That's the only thing that's important. I was at the family reunion, and God knows, I don't think any man on the face of the earth could come from two finer families than what I have. My mother's side and my father's side. 150 at the first reunion. And the other reunion was large, but it wasn't as large as the first one. But I thought about all of the times that we had, and I just had such a good feeling. I had such wonderful relatives, and we just talked and talked, and I'm just a big teddy bear. And the more we talked, the more I cried. I cried about how good life has been, in spite of segregation and everything, and we had nothing. But, you know, Sister Harris, we had everything. Three-room schoolhouse and this and that. And we had nothing, but we had everything. And everybody came out could read. And everything was there. It was so wonderful. And we talked about that and we talked about that. But all, in spite of all of that, the love, Deacon Gavin, that I have with Jesus, there's no comparison about the feeling and the love that I have. And I was sitting up preparing this message last night, and tears just came to my eyes about how good God is. It doesn't take me much for me to stand up and cry, because I got that from Bernice Nicholson. That's what she gave me. She passed on to me. So I'm a big teddy bear. And I thought about how good God has been to me. I thought about how He has helped me and how He has carried me through all of the things I've gone through. And it just brought tears to my eyes. But I tell you, I love the Lord. And I remember when I first met Pastor Cutler, and we were at Cathedral Faith, and something happened, I can't remember what it was, and he didn't know how much it touched me, but he told Reverend Hinkle that Bill loves the Lord. That's the greatest compliment that you could ever give me. God means so much to me. And I don't ever want to be out of His will. I want to be able to go when I don't want to go. Feel for Him when I don't want to feel. And be with Him at all of the times. Because it doesn't have to be this way. He didn't have to save me. So we got a lot to be thankful for. And it ought to bring tears to your eyes too, how good He's been to you. Because you don't have to have what you got. You ought to be thankful for the fact that God saved you and loved you and called you and glorified you. And not take anything for granted. You ought to have a lot of humility in the fact that God has given you this message. Given you this gospel. Where other people don't have it. I'm just so thankful to God for what He's done for me. And I just love Him so much. So, as I close this evening, I like what the Apostle Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death, which is but a sting, nor life, long life is good, but 100 years is not, but none but 1,200 months. A hundred years, 1,200 months. And that's all good. Nor angels, but or principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I love the Lord. I don't know about you, but I love Him. Every time I think about each breath I take, and I'm 36 inches from death at any time, one step, I could be out of here. When I think about the goodness of God and how He has brought me through this life with the best parents and grandparents that anybody could have, and the best wife that anybody could have, and three kids, the best that anybody could have, and four grandkids. And I think about how good God has been to me, and good health, all of the things that the wealth people talk about, the name and claim and talk about. Well, I got it without the name and claim it because God gave it to me from eternity. But I thank God for it. And you ought to thank God too. I'd like to thank Pastor Cutler for allowing me to speak today and just keep it on your mind and keep it in your mind that Jesus Christ is the only one that we should be concerned about. Everything else in this life is going to pass away. But Jesus Christ is here today and forever. God bless you.